You are now listening to the Invited Podcast with Cedric Harris and Tia McClain. You've officially been invited.
Welcome to another episode of the Invited Podcast. Today we have Courtney Blacknall, CEO of Coco Bee Swimwear, a luxury yet affordable swimwear line. Courtney is a clothing designer, a model. She's originally from Mejia, Texas. And you may just catch her bungee jumping or skydiving out of an airplane. She invites others into her life via Instagram, where she'll show like her thrifted fashion must-haves, but she also showcases her really interesting social life. And on top of all of that, Courtney dedicated many years of her life to students as a classroom teacher. So today we're gonna dig deeper into Courtney's background and her life and just learn about her views on different things. So I'm excited about today.
I am too. I don't know much about the fashion industry, so I'm hoping to learn a lot with this. And we're super happy to have you on. So if you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, a little bio, and a little bit about your upbringing.
Okay. Hey, y'all. it's your girl, Courtney, and I'm back on the mic. I'm just waiting. Anyway, my name is Courtney, CEO and founder of Coco Bee Swimwear. Originally, yes, from Mejia, Texas, but I usually just tell people Dallas, Texas, because they don't know where that is. I'm surprised you knew, Tia.
I did some research.
So originally from Mejia, Texas, very, very small country town. So I'm Texas all the way down to the core. Now I'm living in DC where, you know, I'm just making some of my dreams happen. At least I feel like it. Learning a lot here, learning a lot about myself, hoping to apply all that I've learned here to my everyday life whenever I do choose to move back to Dallas or to Texas. But like I said, CEO of Coco Bee Swimwear. I started here in DC. Well, we're going into year two for the company. I've done everything myself, from marketing all the way to making swimsuits, but not without the help of Kiara Godfrey. I'm sure you guys will hear more about her later. But it's just us two. We've been holding it down, hoping to make this year another hit. So yeah, I'm excited to be on here. I'm excited that y'all chose me to be on here. So I'm hoping we can get lit.
Yeah, there we go. I do have a question. Where is Mejia, Texas, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it's small. Like when I say population, it's like no more than 7,000 people, no more than 7,000, but it's about an hour and a half south of Dallas. You ever driven to Houston?
Yeah, I have.
There's usually like a cutoff, like it kind of goes left, or you can either kind of go straight. You're probably not paying attention to it, but you go straight instead of going left after you go through Corsicana.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep going straight. So it's literally probably about 20 minutes from Corsicana, but it's small. It's tiny. There's only one way in and one way out. Entertainment there is to go to Walmart or to go to the grocery store. It's nothing to do.
So how long did you live there, and what took you from there to Dallas and then eventually to DC?
So I was originally born in Houston.
Okay.
I always want to put that out there. I was originally born in Houston, but moved to Mejia probably, I think, when I turned about like 2 or 3.
Okay.
Lived there up until about 8th grade. And then my mom was just like, it's nothing here for my kids. Nothing, no opportunity here for them. So, you know, my mom was a single mother, so she was really big on, I want to give my kids the best. I want to give my kids what I never had.
Yeah.
So after 8th grade, we just picked up and moved to Dallas, Plano in particular, and lived there all my life. And then one day I got sick of Dallas. Like 2019. I was just like, oh my gosh, I've lived here all my life. I've not learned anything new. I want to move.
Yeah.
And literally just packed. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm moving to DC. She was like, girl, you ain't going nowhere. Packed up my stuff after like a month, and then I got a U-Haul, and then I called them. I was like, all right, y'all, I'm leaving.
Really?
Like, hey, you were really serious about moving? I was like, yeah, I'm moving. I'm gone. And so drove all my stuff to DC, about a 26, 27 hour drive with a U-Haul, my car on the back. And that's just how it started.
Yeah.
So, it just was on a whim.
Did you have any family or friends there?
I had some friends, a few friends in DC. Yeah, like two or three friends. I didn't really know too many people. The friends that I did have, I didn't really know them that long compared to like Avery or somebody like that that I've been knowing for years.
But,
I didn't have any. I had some family in Virginia Beach, which is about maybe about 4.5 hours from where I am now. So it was nice to have them. But I mean, like I said, it was 4.5 hours. So it's not like I was up there every weekend.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't know anybody. I was just like, let me just try it. I mean, if it doesn't work, I can always go back home.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I was just like, I'm gonna just do it.
Okay. And so are you liking it so far? Are you happy about that move?
Oh, I love the DMV. I love it here. I've learned a lot. I've been forced to be placed around a lot of hustlers. And I think that's what really helped me. Just living in Dallas, I was teaching. And I was, the cost of living in Dallas is much cheaper than it is here, of course.
Really?
And I was working, you know, I was teaching, I was able to travel. So I was comfortable with my life. And then just one day I was just like, I don't want to keep doing this for the rest of my life, paying bills, comfortable with what I'm making. Like, this is just not what life is supposed to be. And so moved to DC, absolutely loved it. I love it now. I've met so many just people who are really getting to the grind and they're getting to it very early on. 22, 23, I'm meeting 24 year olds who are almost millionaires. Like I'm meeting some really, really great people here. So, and then of course, DC is Chocolate City. There's just a ton of Black people here who are just, they're really doing it.
Yeah.
And I think just being around them and their inspiration, that really helped just spark everything that I started doing. But I love it. When I say I've been nothing short of inspired here, it's really been a blessing to just really live here.
Yeah, and that's kind of a vibe I got. I visited DC once, I think it was in 2019. We were there for a weekend and just like the culture there, like we were on, was that U Street and all of that.
Yeah, U Street, 14th Street, like all of that. It's got a lot of culture.
And then we had, what was that, Ooze and Eyes? That place was super good.
I've heard of Ooze and Eyes. I haven't been there yet. I want to say we had a reservation or something there and then something ended up happening, but I didn't get to go. But I do hear that it is a DC staple.
Yeah, you got to tap into that. That's like amazing.
Okay, I got to add that to the list.
How is the culture in the city when the vibe in the city when like the Capitol building was being stormed? I know we all watched it on TV.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Gosh, it was nuts. You know, what they showed on TV was not what was actually going on here. It was actually even worse. All that had happened, that stuff had happened at like starting at like midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. So yeah, they were out in the streets very, very early. There was a lot of hectic stuff going on. They were saying there was only like, I can't remember. I think they were only saying it was like 200 people or 300 people or something. Is that what they were saying? There were like thousands of people out there.
Wow.
They were calling, you know, Virginia police, Maryland police, the surrounding cities. They were calling those police to come help because they didn't have enough. And when I say I heard sirens all day, I heard them all day from like midnight all the way up leading to the next day. I heard them all day, but they were not showing everything that had happened. I have some friends that actually live off 14th Street, not too far from the Capitol, and they were saying like they were scared to leave their houses.
Yeah.
They were scared to leave. People were just in the streets, just causing just a lot of heckle, causing problems. So they wanted us to stay in the house. And at this point, I'm like, I need a reparation check for all of that. I had to stay in the crib. I couldn't go anywhere. Like grocery store, people were snagging stuff from grocery stores, I guess scared of what would happen. But I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of scary seeing it.
And so speaking of like having to stay in the house, not being able to go anywhere, you made the move to DC during the quarantine, right?
So I actually moved to DC July 2019.
Okay.
So quarantine, the pandemic hadn't started yet.
Yeah.
So I had only lived here for maybe about 6 months, 7 months. And then that's when it happened. And me personally, my job, we started working from home in February. I know some people it was March, April. We started in February. We started very early. So I didn't get to really experience a full year of DC. I just knew summer of 20, I was going to be all up in New York. You know, it's only a train ride. I just knew I was going to be in New York living my life. But obviously that didn't happen. I moved here a little bit before the pandemic.
Gotcha. So you talked about you being there for about 2 years, and it's also year two of your swimwear. Can you tell us more about Coco B Swim? Where and what inspired that and how you got that off the ground?
So what was that? I knew I always wanted to sew. I knew I did. It was just one of those things I just talked about doing. Didn't know I was going to particularly sew swimwear. I just knew I wanted to learn how to sew on a sewing machine. And every year I'd be like, I'm going to buy a sewing machine. I'm going to buy it and never buy it. I mean, you know how we do. We say we're going to buy something or do something. We don't ever do it. But the Christmas of 2019, that's when it was. I'm trying to remember the dates. Christmas of 2019, I said, you know what? I got some extra money. I'm gonna buy myself, I'm gonna gift myself a sewing machine. Mm-hmm. So I just started doing research online, just looking like what were the best sewing machines. Just started on YouTube. And so I went to this fabric store. It's a local fabric store, which is really not all that great here, but the people there are really nice. And so I went in there, it was some older ladies. You know, older ladies, they're like the OGs of sewing. They, you know, they've been doing it for years. They're like the OGs of sewing. So I went in there and just asking them a bunch of questions. What are the best sewing machines to use? You know, what should I buy? And I mean, it ended up a whole conversation. I could go on and on about it, but just for the sake of time, like they really helped me find the best sewing machine. Now, how did I know I wanted to sew swimwear? In my younger years, I never really went on vacations. I didn't have my first vacation with my family till I was like 17. And it was to Virginia Beach where my family lived. Yeah. And never been to a beach, never. I mean, of course I had seen one on TV, like, you know, or in movies, but went to Virginia Beach, had so much fun. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm 17, almost 18. I'm at a beach. This is absolutely amazing. Like I want to live on a beach. Like I want to. So I went on throughout my life and I was just like, I want to travel. I got to see this beach. I love it. I want to travel. I have to travel. I have to go to places that have water, tropical places. I got to do it. But I could never find swimsuits that could fit me. Like I already have like an athletic build. Yeah. And I always tell people, I think my body, everybody's like, your body's so perfect. I'm like, nah, not really. Cause when it gets time to try clothes on, it's a nightmare. Yeah. So I could never find swimsuits that would fit me. Like I will find some, they'd be too big, or I was like trying to rig them, like, you know, trying to make them fit. And so I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to start sewing swimwear. And I think just a mixture just of all those things really sparked swimwear. So I started watching YouTube videos. I was literally up to like 3-4 o'clock in the morning some days. Like just, I was so interested like in the videos, watching it. Some people had recommended some books to me, but it was just a mixture of all of that. And like I say, I practiced sewing. Tia, you know, you saw, I was literally practicing every single day. Yeah. I had an 8-to-5, I had a job, but I would go home and I'd be like, I have to sew today. And I would just practice all the way up until maybe, you know, 11 p.m., 12 p.m., go to bed, get ready for it, go to work. And I was, it just became a schedule to me because I was doing it so much. And then I was doing that for about, from January all the way up to about like April, May. And I was like, I think I'm ready to like start selling swimwear. And so I just started sending out like some samples to people. And I was like, just tell me what y'all think about this. Like, you can be honest. Like, I'm not going to be upset. You know, I haven't been sewing that long, so I'm not going to be upset. But they were like, no, this is really, really good. Like, the quality is good. Like, I think you really got something. So talked to my friend Kiera. And I was like, do you think I should do it? She was like, just do it. Just start selling swimwear. And I'm like, it's not that simple to just do it. Like, no. But I think just having her... having her encouragement, my friend's encouragement, and just, I was really just putting in a lot of work with it. And I think just doing it, it's just how it really came about. That's just how it came about. I kept YouTubing.
Yeah.
I kept YouTubing. I must've watched like over maybe 100 videos. And I know for sure it had, at the least, it had to have been 100. But every day I was on my sewing machine. I was like, if I'm going to get good at it, I need to be touching my sewing machine at least 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I made that promise to myself, and that's just how it came about.
That takes discipline when you have to work, you know, 9 to 5, and then also still make sure that you are working on your own projects. Mm-hmm. Are you still in the 9 to 5 space?
I'm still in the 9 to 5 space. Yeah. I'm still in the 9 to 5 space. Gratefully, I'm at home.
Yes.
So it makes it a little bit easier because I'm able to like be on a meeting or something, and then, you know, I can turn my mic off, turn my camera off, and I'm probably sewing. They probably don't, they don't know that, but I'm sewing, I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, they're still in the 9 to 5 space. Mm-hmm.
So where did your like inspiration come from? Like, kind of like the patterns you make, or your exact like designs, where did that creative inspiration come from? Can you walk us through that process?
Yeah, I think I usually just, I feel like I have style inspos. Hailey Bieber, if you follow me, you know Hailey Bieber is like one of my biggest style inspos. You know, Rihanna. Those are some of my style inspos. And I think about my own style. I also feel like I have my very own style. If I try to compare how I dress to someone, I couldn't do it. Because sometimes I just wake up and put on whatever I want. Yeah. But in terms of just where the creativeness comes from, I just think about what would I wear? And because people compliment me all the time, like, I love what you got on. Like, where'd you get this from? Like, so I think about myself and what I would wear. And that's just really how it comes from. There's some patterns I buy a pattern, and then sometimes I'm like, okay, I like it, but I feel like I could change this a little bit to add my own style. So it's just a mixture of like purchasing, you know, pre-made patterns, and then just adding my own style to that. Mm-hmm.
And so Courtney, you mentioned that shopping for clothing is difficult, and I can relate, especially when you're taller.
Girl, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's like a literal nightmare. And so if the listeners, they probably don't know that Courtney models a lot of her own clothing too. Mm-hmm. So I was gonna say, can you share any fitness tips or like things that you do, or is it just natural?
I'm gonna say it's natural, genetics. I've always been an athlete my entire life.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know it, but I used to be a cheerleader, and I used to be able to tumble. Yeah, I used to be able to tumble like back in middle school, high school. I used to be a cheerleader. I used to tumble. Mm-hmm. And then I played volleyball, also ran track. But even before I even got to middle school, even in elementary, I was running summer track then. Yeah. So I've always been an athlete. So I just tell people it's natural. Fitness tips, just keep working at it. Keep working at it. Be your own fitness goals. Be your own fitness goals. Because I'm not going to lie, because people message me, they'll be like, you fitness goals. But I'm like, don't compare your body to mine, because I mean, just bone structure is different. Our muscles are different. Don't try to look what I look like, but just be consistent. That's all. That's the only fitness goals I can tell you. Be consistent and be your own fitness goal.
I feel that. I also had a question. So we haven't talked much about your educational background. Yeah. Can you just give us some more details about that and how your educational background has led you to where you are, or does it play a role at all?
Okay. Just what I do in terms of education, or what have I done?
Just like overall, it just like has your, yeah.
So I was a teacher. I was teaching in Dallas. I was teaching middle school. I was teaching seventh grade. And I was teaching in Dallas ISD. And if you know anything, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dallas ISD. Yeah. But if you've worked with Dallas ISD, or you've worked in Dallas ISD, you've worked with any of their schools, it's one of the largest school districts in the DFW Metroplex, but it's also one of the most unorganized. And it's usually a nightmare. But I started working in Dallas ISD. Working, like I said, with seventh grade. I love my kids, and working with the type of kids that I had. I mean, I was having students who were raising themselves, you know, in seventh grade. Some of them doing drugs, some of them taking care of their brother and sister. You know, they don't have parents in the house, you know, or they living in an abandoned house with, you know, no lights or no food or anything like that. So I had some kids who had some stories.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made me draw closer to my kids, because yes, they're there for education, but at the same time, like, these are kids that are going through grown folks' problems. Exactly. So I really had to relate to my students. And I think that's why I connected most with my students, because I would just listen to their stories. I would just listen. Sometimes they just want to talk. Yeah. That's one thing about these kids. Sometimes these kids just want to talk. But did that for, what, 2 or 3 years. Got my master's in educational leadership. Thought I wanted to be a principal. I was gung-ho for being a principal. I just knew I was going to be a principal. But after working education and just seeing, like, how my principal moved, I was like, oh, this is not for me. Right. I don't like how they treated the kids. And that was one reason why I quit. I didn't like how they treated the kids. Like, they treated the kids like numbers. I mean, you know, in Texas, standardized testing is a big thing.
Yeah.
They treat the kids like numbers, and I didn't like that. It was more so, can you pass this test or can you not pass it? You know, so that was one reason I got out of education. But I want to continue to work with children. I do. But I just don't think in the space of a classroom.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my friends a couple of days ago, and I was like, you know what? I think I would entertain opening up a sewing school for kids, because sometimes we forget about the arts. You know, it's math, it's engineering, it's this, it's science. But what about the arts? And I think I was like, I've learned how to sew. I love what I do. It's very peaceful. It brings me to peace when I'm doing it. And I'm like, I would love to teach that to kids. So I was just researching some ideas. I mean, I haven't come up with anything yet, but I don't know. I see myself doing that maybe in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. And like you just said, like, what about the arts? Like, everything mm-hmm. makes the world go exactly. around. So
yeah.
I love that.
And you talked about like teaching, and I like you to educate the listener on your own fashion style, because you were saying sometimes just wake up and wear whatever. How would you describe your own fashion style, and what are some, like, your go-to stores you shop at for yourself?
Even, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, if I had to describe my style to somebody, like, what would it be? I don't really have a word for it. I'm going to say maybe I like being casual.
Mm-hmm.
So casual. I like to, you know, I love a hat, so I can throw a hat on with some heels on and with a hoodie and just go.
Okay.
Edgy, eclectic, oversized. I love oversized. I love to be comfy. Nowadays for me, if it's not comfortable, I'm not wearing it.
Yeah,
you know, usually I'll wear some high heels and I'll be like, oh no, I can't. I'm not even gonna pull it. They're cute, but I'm like, I'm not even gonna be comfortable in it.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna be comfortable. So I'm gonna say my style is just comfortable, edgy, eclectic, fun. Some of my go-to stores here. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Here lately, I have been trying to save money on clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I can spend money on clothes like that, like it's nothing. But here lately, I've been thrift storing it up. Yeah. You can find a lot of great finds in the thrift store. It does take a lot of time. You have to have a lot of patience. And you have to not mind wearing pre-owned clothes. You know, I know some people are like, oh, I'm not wearing nothing somebody else had on. But me, I'm like, yeah, I'll wash it, make it my own style. Exactly. Some things I'll find in the thrift store, I'll cut it up and then I'll re-sew it to make it something that I want. So that's my style. Zara, I love Zara. I'll get like a few pieces here and there from Zara, because some things Zara, they kind of cater to the taller people. They kind of mm-hmm. don't, but Zara, thrift store, that's really it. I used to spend so much money on clothes, and I was like, oh, I gotta have the most expensive this, I gotta have the most expensive that, like mm-hmm. I have to have that. But now I'm like, that's not even necessary for me to have. Like, my style is my style, whether it be cheap, whether it be expensive, it's my style, and I'm a rock it.
I feel that completely, and I feel like that also shows that someone actually does have style, when you don't have to just, yeah. Oh, I have on Gucci, so I'm looking. No, it's like, no, I don't know how to put things together.
Yeah.
What's the best piece that you found recently from thrifting?
This coat that I found. I love coats. I love coats, and I think this is why I love coats, because the weather in DC is or on the East Coast is much different than in the South.
Yeah.
My first winter here, oh sweetie, I thought I was gonna get away with just a little coat, a little a little cold, a little thin cold. Oh no, sweetie. Uh-uh. It's a whole different type of wind up here. So I've really been into coats here lately. And I found this one coat. It was $17 from the thrift store. It's 100% wool. It's a vintage coat. And on the inside, it says made in Italy. And it's heavy. It's lined. It's silk lined on the inside. And it's a nice coat. And I ran across it just randomly in the men's section. I saw it and I was like, oh. And the first thing I said in my mind was like, oh, this is some Hailey Bieber will wear. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to get it. So I think that's been my best find. $17 for a coat. You know, a coat can run you.
That's a steal.
A good coat can run you $100, $200, you know, $300.
Yeah.
So $17, oh yeah, I won.
Very, very much so. Okay.
And so you're talking about, you know, what you look for when you're buying your own stuff, but what are you thinking about when you're actually making stuff for others? And how hard is it to, like, when you're making something, think about what you like versus what someone else might like?
You know, and that's kind of been my issue. I can be totally honest about that. Because I have to think about other people's body shapes. Everybody's not built like me. And what may look good on me may not look good on someone else. And what may look good on someone else may not look good on me. So I just try to think about average body types, average heights. Everybody's not 5'9", 5'10". I think, what's the average for a woman? 5'7"?
5'4".
5'4" is average? 5'4". That's the average height for a woman.
That's why I'm tall. I was, so
I was like 5'5", 5'6".
Unless it changed, but I think it's still 5'4".
Okay, see, and I got to think about stuff like that. Like, when I make cover-ups, I'm thinking about making it for my height, but everybody doesn't have long legs like me. So then I'll run into the situation where they have all this, you know, all this extra fabric on the end of their pants coming underneath their shoes. So I have to think about things like that. I try to always use average size charts. But like I said, that's been a really big issue for me, because it's like, do I cater to the tall girls or do I cater to the average height? Like, or what's in the middle? You know what I mean? So it's all really just trial and error.
Gotcha. And so that makes me think about, I was looking at some of your designs on your website. And so how does that process work when someone orders? Like, is it already kind of made, or are you like making it as soon as you get the order? Do you do any custom fits? How does that process work?
I haven't done custom fits. Mostly everything is just by average, I use an average size chart. So I'm just going off of that. Are people able to put in custom measurements? No, they can't, because I don't know how to sew. I haven't gotten, not to say I don't know how to do it, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
Because there's some people who they know how to, you can put in the measurements and then they can do it solely based on that. I'm not there yet. I'm in this class right now where I'm trying to, but it's so difficult. Oh my gosh. It's just a lot. But like I say, it's based on just average proportions. I would love to be able to sew, like if somebody sent me their measurements, I could solely sew based on that. Mm-hmm. My goal is to be able to do that within the next 2 years, because I really want to start diving into plus size women.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so Courtney, you just made this bomb, I think it was a white like mini dress.
Oh, that dress.
Yes. So do we have like a full fashion line coming soon?
No, you know, I'm just playing with things right now, just to really, now that I know how to sew, I'm kind of just playing with different things. Like, what do I like to do the most, or what do I think will look good? Possibly maybe the next year or two, possibly.
Okay, and then to piggyback off Tia, is there anything coming for the men? Any men's wear, any trunks, anything like that? We like to pick up too. We like to go to the beach.
I don't want to put all my secrets out there. Okay. I want to put all my secrets out there. Yeah, but just know it's on the docket. It's on the docket. It's loading. Just stay tuned. It's coming.
I love it. And I want to get into more about like modeling. So of course we've seen, my favorite photo is the one that I keep seeing where you're like squatting down with the white hat. I absolutely love that photo.
That picture's everywhere.
Yes. Tell us about how you like started modeling. Did you do it when you were younger? And just how, like, how you find shoots and how people find you?
I'm gonna throw this out there because I want people to know that I'm not a signed model. Mm-hmm. People just hit me up and just, hey, I think you would be a great muse for this, so I really want to use you. So I don't want people to think I'm a signed model. I'm not a signed model, so let's just get that straight. But whenever people, I guess people just randomly come across my page, and that's another thing that I'm just really amazed about. I don't think my network is that big, but I guess it is because people hit me up all the time asking me to do shoots, and I'm like, and sometimes I'm in awe because I'm like, oh, y'all want to use me? Like, little old me, you want to use me for this shoot? Like, that means a lot to me. People just message me sometimes, or they'll just run across my page. People always share me on their page, so maybe that's how people see me, and they just reach out. And when people do shoots with me, they always say, oh my God, I didn't think you were going to be this cool. You're so high energy. I'm like, oh my God, y'all thought I was going to be me.
Right.
That picture, man, I love that picture. Leah is actually, she was the stylist for that shoot. She hit me up. I didn't even know Leah. Shout out to Leah. Didn't know her, but she messaged me randomly and was like, hey, I'm a stylist. I want to do this shoot. I have a couple of shoot or looks I want to do. I would love to use you as the mule. She sent me the looks. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, definitely, I'd love to do it. Like, you know, come on, let's just do it. And usually I usually just be like, let's just do it, because I want to help every Black woman, every Black person out there. If I can help you, I will, you know what, utilize me in whatever way you need to get to where you need to be. I'm very open to helping people. So she came over to my place. The photographer, Selah, shout out to Selah, shout out to Ashley. They came to my place. They got me together, got me ready. And what people don't know about that shoot is we literally, all those looks, we shot all those looks in like an hour.
Really?
Yeah, we shot all those looks because I was supposed to actually go somewhere and we were running behind. And so we were literally driving all over. We didn't even know what we were going to shoot. We didn't even know. We just knew what the looks were. We had no idea. There's actually a parking garage right across the street from my apartment. So they were like, let's just go on the roof and let's just go shoot. Mm-hmm. That look with the white hat, I think we probably only got 15 shots. That's it. Like, we literally shot all those shots maybe in like 10 minutes. Cause remember, I had to come back home, change clothes, get redressed. We had to drive back out. So we really only had like an hour, but we had 15 looks, 15 shoots. And that just happened to be the best one. And I mean, those girls, they are some goats. They are next up, they are next level. And I was just really so appreciative to be a part of something like that. I've never been a part of a huge project like that. So like I say, for it to be rushed, and then the photo that y'all saw, y'all would have think we took all day on that shoot. Y'all would have think all day. That was like, we were running around like crazy. But the photo came out, I was like, yo, that is sick.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. That picture's everywhere.
Wasn't it like somebody's photo of the year or something? I swear I saw that.
I think it was. It made its way to a lot of like Instagram pages that, you know, showcase people's work, their photos. Selah, I'm gonna go ahead and just say Selah to me, she is a celebrity photographer. She shot The Game.
I saw that.
She shot a photo of some guy who was holding like Fenty skin, and Fenty Skin featured it on their page. Oh, so nice. To me, she's a celebrity photographer. I'm always like looking at her page, like, girl, you are next up. You are everything. But she's just dope. She's just a dope girl. And like I say, to work on a project with all Black women, that was lit to me. And I love to see it.
Yes.
Have you always been like photogenic? I know you talked about not being a signed model. How was it? Was it hard to learn how to model or how to take pictures for others?
Honestly, right now, I don't even think I'm that photogenic. I'll be honest with you. I think when you go through my camera roll, it takes me about 50 shots just to get the right one. I don't think I've always been photogenic. Funny enough, I used to hate taking pictures. I hated taking pictures. I've always been tall. So, you know, when you're tall compared to everybody else, you kind of try to shrink yourself so you don't look as tall in front of other people. But I just recently started liking taking pictures, but it came with me just being comfortable with myself. Mm-hmm. I got to a point where I'm just like, this is me. I'm tall. I'm a dark skinned girl. That's just what it is. And boom. And I think that's where the confidence came. I just told myself, you're never going to look like this person or that girl on Instagram. You're never going to look like that. So just accept who you are and let that confidence shine through. And from there, I love taking photos after that.
Do you feel like you prefer designing over modeling, or modeling over designing, or?
I would say modeling.
Really?
I think I would say that only for the simple fact, because the looks are already done.
Right.
I don't have to worry about the stress. Okay, what looks? You know, what's going to go here? How are we going to style this? It's already done. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say modeling, just because I want to be easy.
Okay.
So how do you stay up to date on fashion trends? What's coming next? And for those who might be trying to look for their spring and summer fits, what should they be looking for?
I don't even know what the new trends are for spring, summer. And I think that's because we've been in a lot of lockdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's just been sweats, because it really ain't nowhere to go.
Right.
So I don't know. I need to really look into the trends, what's going on. I would say find you somebody who is your style inspo and go off of that. Mm-hmm. Like I say, Hailey Bieber is my style inspo. I keep a Pinterest board. My Pinterest board is everything, because it has all the looks that I want in there. But find you a style inspo. I probably got about 400 photos of Hailey Bieber, everything that she wears. Kendall Jenner, I love everything Kendall Jenner wears. Bella Hadid, I think they are real fashion girls.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, Tia, just because you wear designer, that doesn't make you fashionable.
Right.
Just because you buy a $600 Gucci sweater, you're not the fashion expert. I'm sorry, you're not. But I like those three girls, Bella Hadid, Hailey Bieber, and Kendall Jenner. Because I feel like they give you affordable looks. You can go into the thrift store, you can go to H&M, you can go to Zara, you can go wherever, and you can find those looks. But I would say, just for what I'm aware, I'm gonna tell you what I'm aware. I'm aware not thigh high boots. I'm aware the calf boots, because I love boots. Get you a nice good pair of fitted shorts, because you know you can wear those over and over again. You can switch them up. So, you know, some good shorts. Get you a nice pair of jeans. I'm going to say, and not skinny jeans, get you some with a little flare on the end, because you can wear a heel or you can wear some sneakers.
Switch it up. Yeah.
Yeah. You need some sneakers. You don't need many, you know, you don't need the hottest Jordan ones. Like, you know, maybe get you one pair, but don't sleep on New Balance, because New Balance is very cheap. Don't sleep on Adidas. Don't sleep on Reebok. You can get it very affordable. And I'm going to say like basic looks. I like basic looks. And I think I like basic looks because I can dress it up or I can dress it down. I can throw a coat on top. I don't need a coat. I can throw a belt on. But I like basic things, like things that I can wear over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So get your looks that you can wear over and over again. Get your money's worth.
I feel that.
Yeah.
So speaking more about fashion, if you could be a part of any like fashion era, what would you choose?
Oh, the 90s.
The 90s? Why?
Yeah. The 90s, it was a look. I'm going to just break it down
Okay.
Hair was very sleek. It was very, it wasn't a lot. They didn't have bye bye boom. They were sleek looks. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave you, you know, lip gloss with a little bit of brow. With the liner. I think that is sexy. That is like, because I feel like it shows your true features.
Yeah.
You know, you're not wearing 2 hours, you know, a 2 hour beat down. You know what I mean? It shows your natural looks. I like how they wore the denim with the boot again, with the boots. That was a look. That was fire. I'm gonna say 90s. They literally had it going. You know, with the little mini bags was a look. That's a look now.
And I really feel like, yeah,
I feel like the girls now are really, they're tapping into the 90s look. That's the look now. And that's everything, what girls are going for.
From what I've been seeing, like the velour suits.
That's coming back.
White folks are getting into the bamboo earrings and all that. So
the nails are sick. Girls are getting into that. And just like I say, basic look, the oversized jeans that, you know, kind of fit your hips or a little, they're low rise. Low rise is bag. Apple bottom is bag. I'm seeing people wearing Coogi, Ed Hardy, like all that old stuff is back. And I love it. I think it's a look.
I feel that.
And on the opposite end of that, what's a fashion trend or fad that you absolutely hate or hate it and which would just, wish would just go away?
Wedge heels. I hate wedge. Okay, but let me, because some people like wedge heels. For me, wedge heels just don't look good on me. They just do not. Wedge heels, it's wedge heels. That's really it. Just, I'm just like, Lord, just let the wedge heels go away, please. They're not hitting. They're not hitting that core kill on the bottom. That's not hitting. If y'all, if the listeners, if some of y'all got some of those, I'm really sorry.
That's right.
I'm sorry, y'all. But for me, it's a no.
As a man, do you have any thoughts about women wearing wedges versus regular heels?
I personally don't. I don't even pay attention. I don't be knowing all this stuff. I was about to ask what a wedge heel even was.
But, you gotta pick up a wedge heel. Yeah, wedge heel with the cork on the back. Yeah, I wish that look would just... Oh, I just wish it would go away.
Man, I'm about to Google it after this episode to see what it looked like. So I know if I see somebody with that on, like, hey, Courtney told me to drop it.
It's like a big old block. It's just a big block of heel. Like, it's just so much heel. I don't want to be seen with that much heel. I'm already tall. I don't want to be seen with that.
I feel that. there's a way that you and Cedric connect. So earlier when I was introducing Courtney, I talked about you can catch her skydiving, bungee jumping, and all this crazy stuff. So Cedric went skydiving as well. Can y'all talk to us about what that was like?
Go ahead, Cedric. You first. Go ahead.
All right. So for me, I've always wanted to do it just to say I did it. So I was never like afraid, but I always like wanted to do it. So then finally had a couple friends, Alicia, who actually had on the pod, she went skydiving with me.
When did you go?
I went in 2019, summer of 2019. Okay. So I went to Cato Mills, Texas. I forgot what the name is, Dallas Skydive Center, something like that. And so we went up there, we were waiting. And for me, I wasn't nervous at all. I wasn't nervous until it was time to almost get off the plane. So I did the tandem dive and the guy was like, all right, so now you're going to get on top of me. You're going to strap you in. He's like, yeah, I'm going to put your left foot out. I put mine out. You put your right foot out, and then we're going. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then we put that right foot out and was gone. I was like, oh, crap. So it was cool. I was free falling. One thing I wish I would have done, I jumped with my mouth open, and then I couldn't close it. Like, when I was free falling, it was just like, it was so much pressure. I couldn't close my mouth, so like slide was going all over the place. Like I was like, oh man. But then once he pulled the parachute, it was cool. It was like so cool. You could see everything. Uh-huh. And my landing was a little rough, but like I would do it again. But I'm not pressed to do it again. Like give me like 5 years and I'll do it again, but like I don't need to do it again tomorrow. How was it for you though?
I had fun. I had always wanted to skydive, and I would ask my friends, you want to go skydive? And they'd be like, girl, are you nuts? Like, you think, and they were like, black people don't skydive. I was like, yes, they do. But I always wanted to do it. Moved to DC, still wanted to do it. Was asking my friends. They were like, girl, no. I'm like, does anybody want to skydive? Oh my gosh, like, does anybody want to do it? So one day I just woke up. I woke up and said, I'm going skydiving tomorrow. I'm going to just do it. Like, I was like, I'm going to just do it. Call them. And funny enough, the first time I tried to do it, there were so many clouds in the sky that we couldn't do it. Okay. And we waited for like 2 or 3 hours. They were like, I mean, y'all can wait to see if the clouds will pass or you can reschedule. I was like, man, I'm not trying to be out here 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. Like, I'm going home. So I rescheduled it like literally for like 2 days later. Went out there and I went by myself. I didn't have any friends with me. I just went by myself and I was like, oh my God, I'm really about to do this. So drove there. It was like an hour away and I was nervous, but I was listening to music, you know, trying to get pumped up. Like, okay, you gotta get hype. You gotta do it. So clouds were good this next time I went back and my instructor came over, he started hooking it up. They walking us through the steps. And, you know, we get on a plane and I said, his name was Dennis. I said, yo, I want to go first. I was like, I don't want to see anybody else fall off this plane before me because I'm not going to do it. Let me go first. So we going up. And I don't know if you remember, Cedric, but the first person that went, they were like sitting on the floor, right?
Yep,
like,
yep, yep.
So I didn't even know that that was, I thought I was going to have a seat. I was like, no. When we got on the plane, I said, where are we sitting? He was like, right there. I said, I'm not sitting right there. What are you talking about? Like, we're right by the door. But we was going up. We was going up. Halfway through, he lifted up the that happened to you, right? He
yep,
lifted And girl, it was so much pressure of wind. And we weren't even all the way up. We were only halfway up. And I'm looking down like, we halfway up and this is how high we're up.
Right.
So we kept going. We kept going. And I just felt my heart just, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I got to do it. I got to do it. Like, let's just do it. I was like, let's just do it. Girl, he opened up that thing. He was like, tilt your head back. He was like, keep your head back. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'm ready. He was like, okay, let's go. And he, after when he said, let's go, he just went.
Yeah.
And I was like, and the free fall, I'm not gonna lie, the first three, maybe 3 to 5 seconds, I was just like trying to get my breath. I was so
It was hard to breathe, right?
Yeah, it was so hard to breathe. And I don't know if it's because you're just in shock or the adrenaline. But after about that 5 seconds, like I looked down, he had me lift my hands up, right? Like,
yeah, uh-huh.
Certain way they want you to lift them up. And when I looked down, I was just like, wow, I am in the sky. Like, oh my gosh. It was a great experience. I would definitely do it again. Mm-hmm. I think when I travel, I told myself when I travel, I'm gonna, wherever I go, I want to see if they have skydiving. And if they have it, then I'm gonna do it wherever I go. Because I want to do it again. I want to do, I don't know what's up with my adrenaline here lately, but here lately I just been like, I just want to do crazy stuff. Like, let's just do it. But I'm gonna definitely do it again. If I could go tomorrow, I would do it.
What other crazy things have you done already?
I haven't really done that much crazy stuff because I'm always waiting on somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I'm not waiting on anybody. Now that I know I can skydive by myself, I'm like, oh, I know I can do a ton of other things by
anything.
Myself. I really want to cliff dive. Like, right now, I'm in swimming lessons. I didn't know how to swim. I'm just learning how to swim. But I want to cliff dive. I want to get on like top of a cliff and I want to jump off into the water.
That's something that I want to do too. Like, I'm kind of adventurous and like, I call myself a thrill seeker. So I'm like, I've like done like zip lining, parasailing, jet skiing, things like that. But like, yeah, the cliff dives are things that I want to do. I also want to do like, deep sea snorkeling.
Yeah, I want to, yeah.
So I want to like do that and like just see like, cause it's so much like underwater that we don't even think about something like animals and like live creatures and things like that. I just want to see all of that. Swim with dolphins, that's on my list.
Oh, I would love to do that.
So just those things. And like you said, like I like to travel a lot too. Well, pre-COVID. So like whenever I go on vacation, I like to do like something cool, something I can only do in that location.
Exactly.
Especially if I'm like in a beach or a tropical location. So
it's a great experience.
For sure.
There's this thing I saw a couple of days ago. Somebody was doing like, I forgot the name of it, but it was shark diving or shark cage diving or something like that. But they put you in this cage and they submerge you underwater and like sharks literally come up to you in the cage. And
you want to do that?
Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to see it so bad. I want to see underwater so bad. Mm-hmm. I also want a storm chase. I was just posting that the other day. I've always wanted to storm chase, see a tornado up close and personal. I want to see it. And if I die, like at least I die doing something fun. I just want to do adventurous. I want to do adventurous things. Mm-hmm. So we might gotta link up and do some.
Hey,
y'all really
let's
should.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Courtney, so how is it taking swim lessons as an adult? I can't swim either.
I'm not gonna lie, it's hard.
Yeah.
Cause I think, you know, as when you're an adult, you have more fear than you do when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you see videos of little kids swimming and then the instructors just literally throw them in the pool. And I'm thinking about if you do that to me as an adult now, like I'm about to walk out of these lessons. Like I'm not doing this stuff no more. but it's difficult, but I think you just gotta be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in my family really knows how to swim. And I told myself, like, whenever I go to these vacations, like tropical vacations, I don't want to just be stuck on the boat. I don't want to just be stuck on land. Like, I literally want to jump in and I want to swim. I want to say I swam in whatever ocean, you know what I mean? At one point in my life. So it's difficult, but like I say, just be open. Mm-hmm. One thing is I hate getting my hair wet. I'm like, yo, it's hard being a Black girl and getting your hair wet, man. You can't just do it every day, but it's fun, like I say, but I don't want to be 50 years old and be like, I don't know how to swim, just in case I get in a situation where I need to know how to swim. You never know if that will happen to you. So it's hard, but just be open. You can do it.
And that's a whole nother conversation about Black people's history with swimming and pool.
Yeah. There's like history behind that as to why not a lot of Black people know how to swim.
Yeah. But you have inspired me, because I also want to be able to know what I'm doing if I get into a situation. So
just don't, you never know. You never know. You might get in a car wreck. So I might, you know, you might get a car wreck. Yeah. You need to be able to swim to land. So yeah, it's going to be lit. It's going to be a lot of litty things happening. I'm going to say 2022, a lot of swimming happening in 2022.
Yes.
So it just sounds like there are like a lot of layers to you. You're multifaceted. You do a lot. What do you enjoy most about what you do just overall, as far as just providing clothing to people and just being a inspiration for people, as far as like modeling, fitness, adventure, seeking, like, what do you enjoy most about what you do?
I'm going to say, and it has nothing to really do with like swim or anything like that. It might, I mean, I don't know. It depends on like what angle you're looking at, but here recently, it's just really building relationships with people. Yeah. I used to not be, and I can like totally keep it 100 with that. I used to not have the best relationships with people. And not because to say I'm a bad person, it's just that the way I was raised to not trust people. Like, people might do you bad, but I don't know, just living in DC and just being around just my friends, being here by myself, I've learned that relationships, you should value them. They're very important. And I think that's what I love about where I am right now. I'm valuing my relationships, and it's being returned to me. Yeah. I try to always treat people well. I try to always be kind to people. And I can tell that energy that I'm putting out is coming right back to me. And I can tell just from conversations that I have with people, you know, people are, you know, they tell me all the time, you really mean so much to me, your impact, your energy, just all of that is just very, it's refreshing. So whether it be in swim, when I'm doing swim, I am meeting people. I'm connecting with my customers. Even when my customers get their product, I send them a follow-up email like, hey, did everything fit okay? You know, did you enjoy it? I hope that you love it. Let me know what you think. So just trying to still build those relationships even after, just because they buy from me, I don't want to be like, okay, I'm done. I already sold it. Like, right. I want to genuinely know that you enjoyed the product. You know what I mean? And that's still a relationship for me that I want to keep. My friendships as well, the people that I've met, I'm valuing those friendships. Those people mean a lot to me. That's what I love right now about where I am. Just really holding on to those good people and just putting in that energy into those people and those relationships.
Yeah.
And I would say that's been a common theme. So from the people we've had on our podcast, like almost everybody has talked about the importance of building your network and how God has placed us on earth to help other people. We're not meant to be like in isolation.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's facts. I had this conversation with somebody the other day and I was telling them, or we were talking, we were saying that everything we do is just, it's much bigger than us.
Yeah.
The next generation, we got to bring them up. So it's much bigger than us. So you really spread the love just through the people that you meet and the conversations that you have. And hopefully people carry that on to their next conversation, to the next person that they meet. But it's everything we do is much, it's much larger than us. And once you reach that place in your life, everything just seems so much more attainable.
Yeah,
for sure. And it's kind of something we talked about, like just being a star in your role. So everyone has different pieces to the puzzle that all come together to make a big puzzle.
Yeah,
so exactly. Just being a star in your role is really important, and being able to help others along the way is also super important. Are there any people that helped you along the way, any mentors that you look up to that helped provide advice and guidance for you when you needed it?
Oh, for sure. My first one, I'm going to say, is my aunt. Her name is Linda. She's my oldest aunt. And just seeing how she moves in her life, she's kind. I've never met a kind person like her. She, you know, she doesn't cuss, but I mean, if she does, you've done something wrong.
Right.
she will go out of her way to do something for you. And for me, that means a lot to me. When people go out of their way to do something for me, that really shows how much you care about me. And she will do it for anybody. She's a kind person. You know, a lot of things have happened to her in her life. Her husband passed away. Her son was killed. So, you know, I was telling my mom, if anybody should be mad at the world, it should be her. But the fact that she continues to be kind to people, to be nice to people, to build relationships with people, that is where I want to be in my life. And just seeing the blessings that come back to her, it's like, wow, God, like, you really placed her on, even though this stuff has happened to her, you really placed her here. And I'm glad you placed her in my life, because when I look at her, when I look at my Aunt Linda, that is who I want to be. I want to be just like her. My friends, my best friend, Avery, that's my rider. He gets it. You know what I mean? We've been friends for over 10
years. Avery.
Yeah, shout out to Avery. He's been one of my greatest, greatest, greatest friends. I'm very kind. I'm very thankful for him and just his motivation. And people don't know, we talk on a daily, and we talk about everything from God all the way up to, you know, personal things in our lives. But I love that I can be able to talk to whatever about him. I mean, we cried on the phone before. So, you know, that relationship means a lot to me. And my friends in DC, they are my motivation. They are just what, you know, keep me going. I got a friend in DC. Whenever we hang out, he always wants to show people, you know, the promo video that I did for my last collection.
Oh, it was bomb.
Every time we meet somebody, he's like, oh, let me show y'all my friend Courtney. Let me show y'all how fire she is. Like, yeah. I love that. And I'm just like, wow, you really do care about me. Like, that means a lot to me. But I've never really had a mentor per se. Mm-hmm. I've never had somebody that I could just text and you know, or call and give me advice on anything, but never had a mentor. But I look at my friends and my family as my mentors.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. And for our listeners who don't know Avery is one of the best people I've ever met. So funny.
He's so high energy.
Yes, he's super like high energy. He's been on the Shade Room a few times.
He's been on the Shade Room for just everything that he does, even when he strolls.
Yes.
His job, he's very high energy into his job, especially he loves his job. Even when he doesn't, he puts his best foot forward in everything. And I think looking at him and seeing how he puts his best foot forward makes me want to put my best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. And I love hearing stories like that. Just seeing how you light up when you talk about your family and your friends.
Yeah, I mean, he's on my wall.
He's right there.
I'm looking in here. He's right there.
And so, Courtney, with every interview that we do, we always like to end it with a segment where we're like playing games. Or we're just getting to know our guests a little bit better. Okay. But before I do get to the segment, I have one last question for you. So you talked about, I'm kind of going backwards, but you talked about working your 9-to-5, carving out time to still work on your personal projects. Can you talk to our listeners about how important it is to invest in your craft and how you can still work on, you know, your other endeavors?
You can definitely do both. Both are not, I'm not going to say it's easy, because it's not easy. I just believe you should have some time to yourself every single day. And whether that be, I don't know, whether if you don't want, because everybody doesn't want to start a business, that's okay.
Right.
But
yeah.
you should invest in yourself at some point in the day. You give so much of your time to your job. You give them your talents. You give so much more. You give so much to them in a day. You give them 8 or 9 hours, some people 10, some people 12. But I really think you have to invest in yourself at some point in the day. Create a schedule. I'm big on writing down like what I need to do from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. This needs to be done from 12 p.m. I'm big on that. So not to say that you have to, you know, do what I do, but invest in yourself throughout the day. If you want to learn a new task, even if you only do it for an hour a day, 2 hours, 30 minutes, just do it. Some people say they want to work out. I mean, give yourself, you know, an hour, 2 hours a day to work out. But it's all very attainable. Not gonna lie, there's sometimes where your friends are going out and it's like, I can't go with y'all. I'm sorry. Like, I really want to do this. This means a lot to me. And hopefully you have friends that they understand that it's cool, girl. You know, like, I know you're trying to get your stuff popping. Hopefully you have friends that understand what you're trying to do. And if you don't, get you friends who understand what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? But sometimes you have to give up your social life. I do feel like when I started my business, I gave up my social life for a little bit. There are times where I did need to take a break. I was just like, okay, I need to get out of here. Like, I'm going nuts. Like, I'm sewing, you know, I'm sewing in my bedroom. I'm sleeping in my bedroom, working in here. I need to get out of here. Like, I got to get out of here. But just really invest in yourself. You are your best investment. And we have so many talents. Don't give your 9 to 5 all your talents because you'll burn out. But invest in yourself, believe in yourself, trust in yourself, and just really, and give yourself graces sometimes. And I know for me, I don't give myself graces sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not working hard enough. No, you are. Every single day you wake up and you make progress, you're doing something for yourself. And that is very, very important.
Sure. And I just want to highlight a couple things you touched on that other guests have also touched on. One, be consistency. That's something that I kind of struggle with. It's like, okay, I want to do this, but can I be consistent at it? Because if I'm not consistent, then why am I even doing it?
Exactly.
Another thing, sacrifice. So if you want to be able to do something and do it well, there will be a certain sacrifice that you have to make. But if it's something that you really want to do, you should be willing to make those sacrifices. And then third is just be willing to learn new things. I was talking to my mom about this the other day, and she was just saying, you all with technology have so many resources that I didn't have. And you talked about being able to learn how to sew on YouTube University. So YouTube.
Yeah. For free. It was right there.
And there's so many, like you said, free resources that we all need to be taking advantage of, whether it be investing in stocks or, you know, learning how to sew, learning how to swim, whatever the case may be. I think our generation has no reason or no excuse to not be able to do whatever they want to do and achieve what they want to achieve.
You have no reason. When I say, and I can be totally honest, I wasn't the best person in seeking out resources. I was always used to people doing it for, not even to say doing it for me, but leading me up to that moment. You know what I mean? Sometimes we want people to give us so much information and walk us all the way there so that we don't have to do much work. But sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes it turns into a project. They might give you a little bit of a piece and it might turn into a project. You know what I mean? So YouTube, man, when I say YouTube is going to be around forever, I was telling my mom this. I say YouTube is never going anywhere. It's not going anywhere because there's so much that you can learn on there. And, you know, spend your money investing in resources. You know what I'm saying? That shopping spree that you might, you know, spend $500 on, you could have used that for something to go towards your business or something that you want to do. So have consistency, invest in yourself, and just be disciplined.
Yeah.
And I was telling my friend this. I said, once I get disciplined down in all areas of my life, I'm going to be unstoppable. You need discipline in everything that you do. But once I get that down, man, it's gonna be a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Words of wisdom.
And so that'll just take us into our segment. We just have a couple of this or that's, would you rathers, whatever the case may be.
Okay.
But DC versus Texas, what's better? What do you enjoy more? Better food, music, party scene, whatever you're looking for. What do you like better and why?
Definitely Texas. Now, like, definitely Texas. Food is better. Music is better. Texas got its own flavor. That's just it. You know what I mean? So Texas, DC is cool. You know, I like that there's not much traffic. I can say that. That's one thing I love about here. But, you know, nice architecture here. I love to see that. But other than that, everything Texas, cost of living.
Everything,
the food. Mexican food in D.C. ain't hitting at all. It's trash. It's whack. Texas, that's all you need to know. Texas.
Texas all around. Okay. Yeah. So even for dating scene, fashion, slang, still Texas?
Dating. Mm. Girl, dating. DC.
Okay.
DC.
It's Chocolate City, like you said.
It's Chocolate City. And then plus, I mean, DC. I feel like in DC. And one thing I can say about this, let me throw this out here. In DC, everybody has a job. You don't ever have to think that people don't have a job. You know, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, in Texas, I got to kind of look at you twice, like, okay, what kind of job you got, or what do you do? Out here, people that I've dated, the first question that they've asked me is, what do you do? That's the first thing they want to know. What do you do? Where do you work? What type of career do you have? Do you have a bachelor's? Do you have a master's? They're very, very, everybody is very into their careers here. Which, I mean, I love that. Texas, I feel like people are in their careers, but not as much as they are here. Here, I don't got to worry about, if you live in DC, I don't need to know what you do, because if you can afford the cost of living there, you do something. That's all. That's all I need to know. Dating scene, DC. What else did you ask? Fashion, DC.
Okay. Slang. Have you picked up any like DC slang, or are you still saying your Texas stuff?
I'm still saying Texas stuff. I've met some people from Philly. I've been saying, and I'm probably not even saying it right, but sometimes I'll catch myself saying John, be like John. I don't even be saying it right, but sometimes I'll catch myself saying that. But I'm still saying Texas stuff.
Okay.
Would you rather wear clothes that were always too big, or clothes that were always couple sizes too small?
Too big, oversized. Comfort. Remember, I said comfort. Yeah. Comfort.
Would you rather pay a lot of money for one quality item that would last, or have a lot of cheaper items?
It depends. Clothes. I would rather have a lot of cheaper items. Shoes. I'm big on shoes, so. Yeah. My feet take me everywhere, so I need to be comfortable. So if I gotta spend a couple dollars on some shoes, then I'd rather just do that than have a bunch of cheap pairs. But clothes, more so cheaper. Shoes, I'll spend some money on.
I feel that.
Gotcha. And I think I might know your answer on this one based upon our conversation. Would you rather always, everywhere you go, always be overdressed or always be underdressed?
I guess overdressed. Let's just say overdressed.
Cause that's kind of a different question. Because if you say underdress, that means you're not fitting into the situation that you're in.
Ever.
It's like
overdress. I'm gonna say overdress. I'd rather just get overdressed. So at the end of the day, they can be like, "Ooh, she was fly though."
Right.
So, yeah, I'd rather just say that.
Okay. And so, would you rather dress like a child for the rest of your life, or like a granny for the rest of your life?
I'm gonna say a child, because these kids these days.
That is true.
Because these days, they be dressing down. So I'm going to go with kid.
Yeah, like our style is 8 and 9 year old children versus their style of 8 and 9 year old children. Oh, completely different.
At
16, like I wasn't looking like y'all at 16. I was still looking like I was 9 or 10.
Exactly.
Y'all 16 looking like y'all 21, 22.
Girl, yeah. Grown.
Especially with like the proms and stuff, and like the cars they be driving to prom and all that. They just on a whole different level.
The kids these days, they wearing Louboutins, they wearing Gucci heels. I'm like, I was lucky enough to get some shoes from Macy's.
Or literally, like,
you know what I mean? Y'all taking it to a whole new level.
Whole different ball game.
Yeah, so definitely the kid.
Okay.
And you posted Michelle Obama's becoming on your IG, and often share a lot of gems from your note to self. Any other books that you would recommend that people should read, or any of your favorites?
Michelle Obama book, the Barack Obama book is good as well.
Okay.
Some gems in there. I'm trying to read more books this year. I'm trying to incorporate more book reading. So I'm not going to say I'm well versed in books.
Yeah.
Another one is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F-U-C-K. That's a good book. It really helps you to see things that you should care about and you should not care about, and where you're wasting your time thinking about things. I've read that book twice because I've just needed it in just different areas in my life, and it's got some gems. So I'm gonna say those three.
Okay. And so, and what is that Note to Self book? Because I was like interested.
Oh yeah, I was reading the Note to Self book too. It's just a little, it's a book just with notes. I have to send you the guy. The author is actually a Black guy. So it's a Black author. And they're just notes to yourself about things that you shouldn't worry about. You know what I mean? If he texting you at midnight every night, then I mean, you already know what's up. You know what I mean? If you know, I think another thing in the book was, it's okay to start over. Don't be afraid to start over. Sometimes you get to a point in your life where you need to start over, and you've learned so much more, and now you can apply that wisdom and move much smoother throughout your life because you started over. But yeah, it's just, I'll have to send it to you. It's just literally some notes. You could literally read one book in a day. Yeah. But the way I broke it down was I took one note and then I wrote some notes to myself about the book in ways that I could apply those notes to myself and into my life.
Yeah.
But it's a good book. It's a very cheap book. I was supporting a Black author. So, you know, I'm always, you know, looking to support somebody Black, but it's a good book.
Very nice. And so we are compiling a list of like all the books that our guests talk about. So we're definitely going to add those to our book list.
Okay. Yeah. Put me on that list so I can see what, you know, what people saying, because I do need some books.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
You talked about like in DC and just overall how relationships are so important to you and you're really building your network out there. Mm-hmm. I know you know some really cool people and some people doing some awesome things. Yeah. Who do you know that you think should be a guest or will be a good guest on our podcast?
Who do I know? I'm going to say, Selah,
okay.
The girl who shot the photo. She's the photographer.
Yeah.
That girl is just, when I say she's next up, she's next up. She loves her craft. She loves her craft. And not to say that anybody else doesn't love it, but her love for her craft is just, it's inspiring. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell me all the time, she'd be like, girl, I'm inspired by you. I'm like, I don't know why, because I'm inspired by you. I'm inspired by you and what you're doing. I'm going to say her name is Selah, and she's lit. She's just very lit. When I say she can, when she shoots, some people, I'm going to be totally honest, some people can't shoot dark-skinned people.
Yeah.
Her,
and we've seen it, yeah.
Her, yeah, she can really, really do it. And she can really bring it out of you. And like I say, the fact that we were rushing to do that shoot, that just shows you how good she is at her job. You know what I mean? She only got 15 shots and it's like, boom, I got the money shot in those 15 shots. But yeah, she's lit. She's next up. She's working. She works so heavily on her craft. I always see her up late, working late at night, working on her craft. I believe she also has a 9-to-5 too, but that girl got some, she has some wisdom.
Cool. So you got
another one. Let me give you one more. Keandra Mallard. I don't know if y'all know her. Mallard the Speed Doctor.
Okay.
But she has a training. She does speed training. But man, her story is just, I knew her in college, so I know her a little bit, you know, personally. But she got a story. She got a really good story to tell. She's very inspiring. I was listening to her on a live one time, and just what she had to say. She related a lot of it back to God, and it really, everything that she said, after I got off that live, I had to sit and think about what she said, and it literally just made me stop and give God some praise just for everything that he's done, for where I am in my life, his protection, his mercy, his grace. When I say, like, for everything that she says can bring you, it can make you cry, because she got a story. So I'm going to say Keandra and Selah.
Cool.
Noted. Okay.
Bet. Where can people learn more about you and your businesses, all your tags, your handles? Go ahead, get the people to info.
You know, check me out on the gram. Check me out on Twitter. You know, I be talking noise on Twitter, but check me out on Twitter. Check me out on Instagram first. Okay. Instagram at Miss M-I-S-S Coco C-O-C-O-B-B-E-E _. That's my Twitter handle as well. Since this podcast is going to come out, you know, and later in April, I'm going to have started this already, but I'm actually about to start a YouTube on thrift, and I'm going on thrift store tour. I'm gonna just tell people where to go and what's in their city. You know, I'm gonna go from DC, I'm gonna go up to New York, I might go down to Florida, I'm gonna go in Texas, but I'm just gonna go check out some of the dopest thrift stores and show people how to throw everything together. The name of my channel, if it's available, is also gonna be Miss Coco B. If you wanna check out my swimwear, Coco, COCOBEE swim, and my website, CocoBeeSwimwear.com.
I've been waiting on her thrift channel.
Everybody's been saying, they're like, girl, when are you going to tell us? Because what's the secret? And so I'm just going to, and I did tell myself, I really want to find a new platform. Mm-hmm. I feel like after a while, Instagram is going to be old, especially with their algorithm. So I feel, and like I say, YouTube ain't going nowhere. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be around for a while. And I'm gonna just start thrifting and showing people what's tea, what's good. You know, you can get a good fit for $20 in there.
Yes, we are ready for it.
Yeah, I'm about to tune into that because I've never been thrifting before, but everyone says it's the way to go. So I'm excited for that for sure.
Yeah, and you know, one of my friends in DC, Omari Jesse, shout out to Omari Jesse if he hears this, but he's just fly. He's just got some fashion. Do you know who Luca is? Luca from Grownish?
Yeah.
He reminds me of Luca. He's fly. He's very laid back. I'm actually going to bring him on my thrifting YouTube so he can show y'all some men's fashion.
Bet.
I'm going to add him. Yeah. So it's in the works. It's in the works.
Nice. Cool.
And we'll just end it with this. What advice do you have for someone who wants to break into the fashion industry, whether it be designer, model, or just another aspect of the business?
What advice would I give?
Mm-hmm.
For every 100 no's you'll get a yes. Don't get discouraged. For me personally, I would get discouraged because I hate hearing no, or I hate failing, but that's okay because it's preparing you for your big pop off. It's preparing you. So just know that there's something greater on the other side of those no's and that failure. And then secondly, just spiritually, just always give them some praise. Things could be so much worse. You know, I know a lot of people that lost family during COVID, but just give him praise in everything that you do. Everywhere you go, just give him praise. You know what I mean? Because he just might bless you. You never know. But those are my two advice. Oh, and invest in yourself. You are your best investment. Nobody else. You are your best investment. And find your lane. And when you find your lane, you better drive it to the max.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Perfect. We love it. And we're so glad that you joined us today.
Thank y'all for having me. This was fun.
For sure. I hope the listener loves the conversation as much as we did, because you really dropped some gems and
good.
Super cool, super exciting person.
Thank you.
Really gets a chance to see that. But that's a wrap, folks. Another episode of the Invited Podcast in the books. And we appreciate you for joining us.
All right. Holla. See y'all later.